Right, we've been getting quite a lot of reaction, actually, to our grillings of the politicians over recent days. The general election now just 8 days away. The Nolan Show certainly trying to deliver an election pledge to you. We promised to put the parties under the spotlight over their manifestos. Today, it's the turn of Sinn Féin, the party's MLA. Chris Hazard is with me here in the studio. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. How important is this election?
It's very important. I think we've seen lately, over the last number of years, that politics across these aisles is changing. And we stand on a platform of that change. You can't help but be struck by the amount of people now demanding a different way. They're rejecting austerity, not just in Scotland, but across Ireland and indeed throughout Britain. So that very much is the basis of our manifesto. It's about demanding more economic powers, but not just demanding the powers, setting out exactly what we would do with them.
Who are you to demand? Who's Sinn Féin to demand?
Well, Sinn Féin, and remember the last Westminster election, were the biggest party. We received more votes than anybody else. We are the biggest party and political movement on the island of Ireland.
As the DUP said last night in the election debate, you're irrelevant. You don't take your seats. Irrelevant.
Absolutely not.
Impotent.
Absolutely. I would reject that entirely. Sinn Féin, as I say, stand in these elections. We've seen it the last Westminster elections. More people voted for Sinn Féin in the last Westminster election than anybody else. That shows you how relevant we actually are.
But you're irrelevant because you do not take your seats at Westminster. You cannot influence any vote whatsoever.
Well,
you're bystanders.
Let's deal with the issue of abstention. And to me, it's very, very simple. There's two aspects to this. The first is principles. Like a lot of political parties, we have principles. One of our principles, an Irish Republican Party, is a policy abstention. We do not take our seats at Westminster.
Really? On a point of principle?
Second,
so you don't take your expenses either from Westminster, do you?
We do not get paid a salary.
But you don't take your expenses, do you?
We have an office in London.
All right.
We represent constituents
in London.
So you do
take your expenses.
We lobby in London, but we do not get a salary for our MPs.
But you do take your expenses.
But Stephen, the second part of this...
Don't you?
Stephen, we do not get paid a salary. Our MPs do not get paid
a salary. The
question
is, you do take your expenses.
We have an office in London. We represent our constituents
in London.
So
your principle is you won't engage with Westminster. You won't take your seat in Westminster, but you will take the expenses.
And I think we've hit the nail on the head here. There's two aspects to this. We engage directly with the British government. We have a London based office. We represent our constituents. But there's also not just the principle, Stephen. There's also the pragmatic approach to this. Those who are sitting in Westminster haven't gained a single penny, nor have they stopped a single cut on the people of this part of Ireland. If you look at what is relevant and what does matter, it's direct negotiations. If we look at the Stormont House Agreement, for example, £700 million agreed for integrated and shared education campuses. That wasn't agreed from the green benches of Westminster. That was direct negotiation. So we can deal with the hypothetical nature of their principles of abstention, but let's deal with the reality. And the reality is this. The bedroom tax wasn't stopped in Westminster. The bedroom tax was stopped by the executive here.
But if there is a vote at Westminster, for example, on welfare reform, if there were to be a vote in Westminster about taking more money from the welfare system, where would you be?
But let's look
on the sidelines.
Them votes did take place. And them votes were relevant when it came to welfare.
You'd be watching it on TV.
The North is the one part of these islands that hasn't had welfare change imposed upon it. Sinn Féin have blocked it. The bedroom tax applies in England. It doesn't apply here. So even though the vote did take place in Westminster, it's an irrelevance because Sinn Féin blocked it where it mattered. And where it matters is here on the island
of
Ireland.
If Westminster's an irrelevance, why do you have an office there?
Because we have to deal directly with the British government on a number of issues, be of an outstanding legacy, you know, the need for an inquest into the Pat Finucane murder, whatever it may be, we need to deal directly with the British government.
Who would you rather see in Downing Street, Cameron or Miliband?
Well, I think, you know, to put it frankly, the Tories have been an absolute disaster for the people of the North. To a certain extent, I think the Labour Party are more in tune with the needs of the people here. But in saying that...
How?
I think they get it. When it comes to building out of the peace process, when it comes to investing in the peace process, I think the Labour Party are more in tune with the needs. Now, in saying that, the rosettes might change, and I think the rosettes will change from the parties at Westminster this year, but I don't think we're going to see that massive break from austerity that we need to see.
So you want Miliband?
I say, I'm not talking about preferential people. I'm saying here the Labour Party have tended to be more in tune with what's needed. But we're talking here about two parties wedded to austerity. I think that, you know, Sinn Féin have been very clear in this. We need to see a break from the neoliberal policies of both Labour and Conservatives. We need to see an alternative to austerity.
But whatever happens in this election, austerity's going to happen, isn't it?
It doesn't. It's a choice. It doesn't have to happen. You know, there's a choice to be made here. They don't have to spend hundreds of billions of pounds on Trident. They don't have to spend money on warfare. Spend that money on welfare instead. That's what Sinn Féin are saying. That's what the SNP are saying. That's what all these, like Syriza in Greece, or the alternative voice are saying. Why is there money for warfare and no money for welfare?
SNP aren't saying that, according to the Institute for Fiscal Studies. I've got their report here. They said, quote, all four parties' plans imply further austerity over the next parliament.
We're talking here
including the SNP.
We're talking here about a break from the Westminster-driven austerity. And Sinn Féin are very, very clear on this. There needs to be a break. We need to invest in our peace process.
How are you going to do that?
Well, we've said one of the biggest, one of the most damaging things that's happened here in the north is the $1.5 billion that's been cut from our black grant. We need to see that reinstalled immediately. And I'll tell you why it's so important.
How are you going to get it back?
Direct negotiations with the British government.
What's your leverage?
It's how we got the policing and justice powers. It's how we got the money recently in the Stormont House Agreement. It's through direct negotiations. And I'll tell you why it's so important and why it can be done. That $1.5 billion represents just 0.002% of overall British expenditure. It represents 14% to us. It's so important to our hospitals and our schools here that we get that. The British government can give us that in the morning. It is minuscule compared to the money that they are dealing with.
So the Westminster government, they're tackling the deficit. They're balancing the books. They're protecting their own services. They're taking money away from areas where there are real votes in it for them. And you're just going to walk in there. Martin McGuinness is going to walk in there and say, can we have our $1.5 billion back? And they're going to say, all right, then, there you go. What's your leverage?
Our leverage, but you seem to suggest that we're not entitled to this money. This is our money. Like, if we take the latest figures of revenue generated here in the north, it's somewhere between 14 and 15 billion pounds. Like, you know, we're not the basket case that some politicians would like to portray the north
but
as. We generate income. We have an entitlement to say where that is spent. Now, we are moving out of a peace process. We need to build what we have for society.
But you have no leverage.
We do have leverage. This is what the people of the want. And this is why Sinn Féin are saying you need to vote for Sinn Féin to go into these negotiations. So, we had no leverage to get the 700 million for schools that we just got.
So you ask for the 1.5 billion. The British government says no. What do you do then?
We're in a negotiation process.
You say pretty please? Pretty please?
No, I think it's been quite clear, Stephen. The austerity principles and the austerity policies that the Tory government have outlined over the last number of years have put the political institutions here in severe threat.
But you,
we have seen that.
There were intense negotiations before Christmas, right?
Yeah.
Leading to the Stormont House Agreement. How much of the $1.5 billion did we get back?
Well, we had 700 million put up front for new Sheridan and degree education.
Over 10
years?
We had
100, 150 million for dealing with the past and corner courts and everything else. We had money set aside now for
the welfare.
And they're
going to give us even more on top of that?
We don't know who we'll be dealing with. Let's have the election. Let's see the new government coming in. I think it's going to be a changed landscape, and I think that's the new government we have to deal with.
You could influence who you're dealing with if you took your seats. Will you rule out ever taking your seats? Is that a red line for Sinn Féin?
We have a very, very clear policy. As a proud Irish Republican Party, it's in the name, Stephen. We ourselves, Sinn Féin, we believe in taking power for ourselves.
Policies can
change.
We do
not believe.
Is it a red line? Would you never do it?
It is a red line, certainly. Sinn Féin will not be taking our seats in Westminster.
Because if you prefer Labour, you could get in there and influence it. Could come down to 5 or 6 seats, couldn't it?
I didn't say I preferred Labour.
I said that
Labour seemed to be more in tune with the needs of this society. That doesn't mean
sounds
that
like a preference. Now, don't be
but that means
why do politicians just speak like we all speak?
Yeah. But and I'm saying very clearly, Labour have got, when it comes to building the peace, Labour are more in tune with the needs.
That's a preference.
That doesn't mean they still don't have austerity policies that still won't harm our society.
You prefer Labour over the Tories.
Needed to be fought.
Doesn't it? You prefer Labour over the Tories.
I very, very clearly said that I think Labour are more in tune with the needs of our society.
So is that a preference or not?
The Tories have been a disaster for the society.
Is that a preference?
Well, you can call it a preference if you want to call it a preference. But at the end of the day, we need to be very, very clear here. We need a British government that listens to the people of Ireland.
We need to look at how credible Sinn Féin is when it says, you know, we are an anti-austerity party and, you know, what you can then do. Let's say that you did get, because within this manifesto, you want tax-raising powers, don't you? And you want control of money here in Northern Ireland. So let's just have a look through the different aspects of this manifesto to see how credible Sinn Féin is. I'll pick one at random. You say that you would seek a moratorium on evictions for those in mortgage arrears.
Hmm.
For how long?
Well, I think that is to be discussed. I think, you know, as, you,
worked out,
as, you? As you've pointed out, yeah. our manifesto is very, very clear when it comes to power.
Yeah.
And coupling with the request in the 1.5 billion, we want to see economic power because we need the financial benefits in our society.
Sure, but that's a broad answer. So on the specific...
But let me get to it.
A moratorium on evictions for those in mortgage arrears. So if someone can't pay off their mortgage, how long would you give them a moratorium for?
Well, it will all depend on the specific details of that specific case that would need to be worked out.
Has Sinn Féin worked it out?
But it depends on the specifics of the special case. There'll be an appeals process built into this.
But how would you work it out?
But we can't
explain the policy.
But we can't deal here in hypothetics. We have to deal here with and manifesto was policies that's laid out that says we have seen as a result of severe austerity policies, we have seen, you know, especially if you take low income families being crippled by austerity policies, and we need now to step in and to help them.
So would this only apply to low income families? Well, moratorium on evictions?
I'm only giving the example of low-income and how low-income families...
My question is, would it only apply to low-income families, this moratorium on evictions?
Moratorium on evictions would apply to those families in need. And this is what we've been saying from the start. Whatever criteria is set down, we will look at that.
What would the criteria be, Chris?
Those in need. If you're in need for a moratorium, then we need to look at what would
well,
be
Well, everybody's in,
place. In
need for a moratorium if you can't pay off your mortgage.
No, but not everybody
so
is.
So let's say I decide to stop paying my mortgage.
But you can pay your mortgage. This is for those people, those hard-hit people that can't pay their mortgage.
Would that apply to people who have very large houses but got themselves into trouble? Many property investors, for example? Would they have a moratorium too?
And this
multi-millionaire property investors?
This is my point about specifics. You know, when you look at an appeals process, when you look at what needs to happen, all these things will come into play. Because we can't get away, and the Sunday Times had it last week, there are now more billionaires in British society than there was before the crisis. So we need to look at creating a fair level playing field. So, and that's what Sinn Féin are about. That's why we've said when it comes to corporation tax, income tax, we want those powers to be able to do what we want to do.
But we're still on people not having to pay off their mortgage. How could any credible bank ever do business in Northern Ireland if Sinn Féin would walk in and legislate so that people don't have to pay off their mortgage, Chris?
Well, let's remember...
You haven't given me the specific example yet.
It's some of these banks that helped get us into the position that we're in. So if the state can walk in and get the banks off their mortgages, why can we not set up a system that helps people, especially those low-income people who can't afford, who, because of no fault of their own, now can't afford to pay their mortgage?
Let's look at other stuff within your economic policy. You would work to resolve unmanageable personal debt, including, my goodness, look at this, the renegotiation of loans and credit card debts and debt cancellation. So you would renegotiate people's credit card debt. Why?
No, we would look at it. Again?
No, you would work to do it.
Yes, we would work to do it. We would look at it. Again, we can't have a system. We can't grow economically if, say, if you take some of our small businesses or SMEs or if you take personal debt. So, it's a severe problem that we need to address.
So who would qualify to get their credit card's debt wiped off? Who would qualify? Would I?
Well,
if I went out and bought a Merck on my credit card, could I walk up to Sinn Féin and get this wiped off?
I wouldn't think so, Stephen. No.
So what's the criteria?
And again, this is dealt at those people who need spurred from the effects of austerity.
But define who those people are. How would they qualify for it?
Again, it's those people in most need.
Define them.
It's the people who cannot afford. You just mentioned the mortgages. Those who are crippled by their debt. So their living standard falls through the floor. They're having to choose between heating and eating.
But you're being
broad. Can't afford.
But that's not real government. If you just say, right, is anybody here in debt? But so I'm trying to understand from you.
It's about stepping in and helping those people. So, and if you don't help, we'll end up in the street. It's about helping those in need.
So help me understand, because those in need is such a broad brush statement that I have no idea who you mean. So how would you qualify, because this is a policy in your manifesto, how would you qualify to get your credit card wiped off? Who would?
Those in need, Stephen.
But define who those are in need.
Those who don't have enough money to pay the debt.
Right. Okay.
Because that's what we've said. Right. That's what we've said here before. If you look here before, it was okay to step in and save banks whenever they can't pay. We need to change the tables now to help ordinary people who can't pay.
And for those who can't pay the bill, they have their credit card debt wiped off. This is a Sinn Féin policy. Does it matter if they've bought jewellery with it? Does it matter if they've flown the Magaluf on it?
No,
On their credit card?
And the policy isn't clearing debt. This isn't a case of everybody turning up with a line with credit card debt and let's get it cleared. It's for those, it's in those cases, and that's why I'm saying here, and I know, you know, it's about being specific, but there are going to be certain criteria, there are going to be appeals processes, there are going to be specific circumstances that stops a family from falling into poverty. That's the sort of cases that you need to step in.
And who pays
for
that?
We're not talking here...
Who pays for the credit card? Who pays for wiping off the credit card debt? The rest of us?
We need to examine that. We need to look at how we can do this and where we can best do this.
Presumably Sinn Féin have looked at it before writing this manifesto. So do the rest of us pay for other people's credit cards?
But Stephen, this is what you're not getting. This is a putting forward a policy that says this is what we need to be doing. It's linked directly in getting the money. This is all linked back directly to the 1.5 billion. We have seen our budgets raided. We need to resupply our budgets so we're able to do this.
So the rest of us would pay for it.
It's about progressive taxation, Stephen, as well. It's about those who can pay being able to pay.
Okay, Sammy on the Shankill, Sally on the Falls, Hector on the Malone Road, wherever, some of the rest of us would be paying off their credit cards.
I'm saying, see, for those people...
Taxpayers' money used to pay off credit cards.
That's not what we're saying here. See, for those people who are about to fall into abject poverty, who are about to go onto the street, we need to... Society has to... Society is judged on how we looked after the needy. We need to step in and help people who need help. Now, that help may be in relation to credit cards, it may be in relation to stability within the family, but we have to start stepping in for families. We've stepped in for banks for long enough. We have to step in and help families.
Right. Okay, well, I'm not too sure you've given me a specific there, but it's one hell of a policy, I'll tell you what. You know, you've got your Visa card, you've got your MasterCard, whatever, and Sinn Féin will clear it for you with taxpayers' money.
Stephen, as I've said, we've stepped in for too long for banks. We need to step in for people. We have people there, low incomes especially, who are about to fall into poverty. We have to step in and help those people. If their family's going to fall into abject poverty. And remember, Stephen, half of all children in Ireland who live in poverty live in a working family. We need to go in. This is why, for example, our manifesto talks about a living wage.
See, with that policy,
why it's so important
with that policy,
to impose a living wage.
Would that policy, Chris, not be slightly more credible if within the manifesto it gave criteria? If within the manifesto it said for those earning an income less than, we will look at helping them with their credit card debt. We will look at seeking a freeze on interest rates on their credit card so that they could spread their loan over a period of time. None of that in this manifesto, but just a huge promise to wipe off people's credit cards. No detail, no specifics, and none from you today.
But Stephen, it's a manifesto. We're talking here about a 10 or 12 page document that lays out our policy ambitions for the years ahead.
And so therefore it's for you to give specifics so that we can be sure, the public can be sure, it's thought through.
Yeah, and that's the point here, Stephen. The point is you're talking here about headline policies and what you want to do. And that's what it is. Like, for example, we've talked about the 1.5 billion, about getting that back from the British government, about standing on a platform of change, about marriage equality, for example. But we haven't said exactly what it might take. Now, we've come out now and said about the referendum when it comes to marriage equality, but we haven't laid out all the technicalities that would take because we only have 10 or 12 pages of a document.
You also want to review excessive high wages in the public sector. Hmm. How would that work?
Well,
would you set a cap on wages?
This is linked directly to a progressive taxation system and progressive wages. And we're calling, our manifesto speaks very, very clearly of the need for a living wage because we have a real problem in this society of a low wage.
No, we're not talking about living wages just yet.
This is linked.
No, we're going to talk about living wages later.
Yeah, but this is
about high wages in the public
sector.
But
this is linked. If we look at our health system, for example, we have some high-earning consultants who earn at least double what the US President and the British Prime Minister earn. That's not fair. That there is no equality in the system, that we need to bring equality into the system.
Are these nationally renowned brain surgeons you could be talking about?
No, if I look at the South Eastern Trust, at least 10 of the directors in the South Eastern Trust are on big, big money. Money well in excess of what you'd expect.
So therefore...
Well over the medium.
Again, let's establish if Sinn Féin is a credible party with thought-through policies, how much is too much?
Well, again, this is something that we have to look at. This is something we...
Have you looked at it before writing it down in the manifesto?
But this is linked to living wages. We need to be able to see how can you set a figure at the top if you don't look what's at the bottom as well?
Maybe you've looked at what's at the bottom. You know what the minimum wage is. You know what the living wage is. How much is too much? You're not making this up in the back of a cigarette packet, are you?
No, we're not.
Right, so how much is too much?
Too much is the excess, and that's what we're saying.
Spell it out. What is the cap?
We need to look at it. We need to see. We need to...
Are you ready for government?
Of course we are. We're in
government.
So
you need to look at it? Haven't looked at it yet?
But that's what we're saying, Stephen. We're saying here that we need to look at excess wages. We know if you take, and I've just given you the example of health, that there are some instances where it is too much.
Well,
and going forward, we need to look at excess wages.
Chris, if you need to look at it, so therefore, by implication, you haven't looked at it, how do you know it's excessive?
Well, I'll tell you what's excessive. Excessive is 10 times the median wage in the health service. And too many of our health consultants are getting paid 10 times the median wage. As I said, it's important here that we build from the living wage. And we know that, and it's all costed. Yeah. And that's the important thing to
look at. So as a point of principle, would Sinn Féin set a cap on public sector wages?
Again, I think there's merit in that. I think that's something we need to look at. But again, it needs to be done in conjunction. We need to do this in partnership.
It's not, do you think that if there's merit in something, as a point of principle, as a policy statement, would Sinn Féin set a cap on public sector wages?
Again,
yes or no?
As I said here, I think there's merit in that. I think we need to look at it. We need to look.
I'm asking if you think there's merit in it. Is it a Sinn Féin policy that you would set a cap on public sector wages?
And that's what I'm just saying here. There is certainly merit in that. We need to look at whatever public sector we're looking at.
Okay.
But we can't go on with the excesses at the top and letting people at the bottom suffer.
And so, just one more time, is there any notion as to how much that cap would be?
Well,
would it be a multiple of whoever's on the lowest in an organisation?
Yeah, well, there would certainly need to be linked. As I said, there's certainly no way we can have excesses of 10 times the median figure as we are seeing in the health sector at the minute.
Okay. So what about I just used a hypothetical example earlier. What about a world-renowned brain surgeon that would be prepared to come to Northern Ireland? Would you cap his wages?
That world-renowned brain surgeon takes a Hippocratic oath whenever they train. It's a vocation. It's about helping people. You know, we have some... If you take cancer, for example, if you get cancer, and you've done a programme yourself on this, Stephen, lately, if you have cancer here in the north of Ireland, you have a far better chance, or as equal as far better chance, in anywhere in these islands of surviving. We don't need to pay those people millions and millions of pounds.
We don't pay them millions.
Exactly.
But
that's my point. We need to find what's a fair level of pay. And linking the fair level of pay is given making sure that we have a real living wage. You know, we're not calling for everybody to be paid the same. That's not what we're calling for. But we're calling for fairness in the system. Because for too long, we haven't had that fairness. For too long, for example, you know, and
okay.
if we look at those in the bottom, we know that those in the bottom, when it comes to income tax in the bottom 10%, pay more of their income than those at the top. That has to stop.